It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
And good morning. Welcome to...
this is Sports Talk.
This is Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. As you can tell, I'm not Connor Sutton. He is not with us today. I'm Dan Anderson. I'm joined by Bryce Ritchie. How you doing, Bryce?
Doing good, Dan. Doing good.
That was a rough start without Connor. Oh, my goodness. I totally blinked on the name of the show.
That's not embarrassing.
So this will probably be my final appearance on this show. We are joined by Jerry King, our producer today, who now has been a part of more episodes than the host, Connor Sutton. So I'm sure he's got to feel good about that.
That's an impressive record. And we'll talk about impressive records later, but that's got to be up there.
We are going to talk about some impressive records, but so far, that is the most impressive record we talked about today. We are going to open up today talking about something that's hit the news pretty hard in the sports world, and actually outside of the sports world. It has to do with the Supreme Court. It has to do with a ruling that happened earlier this week. The Supreme Court ruled that one particular federal gambling statute, specifically the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act, they ruled that it violated the 10th Amendment of the Constitution, and because it illegally empowered federal government in order certain states to take specific actions disallowing sports gambling. So more or less that means it opens the door for states to decide whether or not sports gambling is going to be illegal or not in their state. So to be clear, it doesn't make it automatically legal, but it's opening the door. I've read certain articles that say within 5 years we're going to have up to 32 states that will have some sort of illegal gambling in their state. So that's big news. It's going to change sports across the country here. I think this is a huge news.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about this?
I think it's fantastic. You know, a lot of the talk recently has been about how some sports are becoming less relevant, and I think what this does is this provides a huge boost to their markets. Not just nationally, but internationally as well. You're going to people get, especially teams like who are in Vegas, you know, the Knights, the Raiders, when they move, you're going to get people to come in and they're going to be able, and they're going to spend gazillions of dollars a year on betting on these teams. And so I think it's a great thing. I think it violated the 10th Amendment. And if people want to spend their money on, you know, betting on sports, go for it.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think this is good for the leagues, especially if the leagues can figure out how to team up with these gambling companies who are going to be opening up their doors across the country, especially if they can get some sort of mobile version where people can just download an app and as they're watching a game, place down $5, $10, whatever it is on a game. And I know my buddy Luke, who moved over to England where it is legal, he bet on the Super Bowl this year, and he was having a blast because he loves like the prop bets, like, okay, each team they're gonna score a field goal in the first drive of the game, which happened, and he won money on it. He was having a blast. I think this is only gonna be good for the leagues. It's gonna put more money in the pockets because basically the way I see it, it was happening.
Yeah,
quote unquote, it was illegal, but it was if you really wanted to gamble, you could figure out a way to do it. Now the government can put some sort of regulations. They can take some money off the top, so it's not. It just seems like it's happening already. Might as well make it legal. They can regulate it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I think this is good. And I think for the leagues have been fighting, especially Goodell in the NFL.
Yeah.
Adam Silver, he's been a little bit more open to it. But
he's kind of a progressive when it comes to executives, though.
He really has been. I really like Silver a lot. But I think Miguel secretly is behind closed door thing. Sweet, because now they can partner up with these gambling companies and try to make, and they'll make more money, which hopefully to the fan will drive ticket prices down because they're going to be able to get revenue from somewhere else and it will make it a little bit more affordable.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that will necessarily pan out, but that's the hope.
I mean, if attendance is down in certain areas, I'm sure I could see teams lowering it if they are compensating by, you know, taking bets. But it just makes money across the board for everybody. The states can tax it. The teams are going to make money. They could even set up their own, you know, like you said, their own gambling agencies or whatever they want to do. So they already, and plus they already, people were already betting anyway.
Exactly.
They bet on horse races. They have things like DraftKings. Plus, how many millions of dollars changed hands for March Madness?
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, it happens all the time. I think it's good to get it out, basically get a spotlight on it, make sure that we have as much regulations as possible on it. That way there's no kind of shady deals going on behind closed doors. So the leagues will benefit. I think it will drive up ratings, too, especially if the Browns play whoever, the Buccaneers, maybe. That's my team. I don't want to throw them under the bus, but they haven't been great in the last decade or so. It's going to drive, because people will have parlay bets, the three-team bets on games. It'll drive up ratings. It should be good for the sports, which ratings have been down across the board because people are getting highlights and things on their phones and they're not sitting down and watching games. So I think that'll be good. The flip side of this, people will say, which I've heard, and I think it has some merit, is now more gambling, because I think people like you and me might be more. Have you gambled on one of these offshore accounts before?
Oh, yeah. Lots of times.
So I haven't.
Okay.
And not necessarily because I think, I'm going to go to jail for it. Just didn't seem as accessible. But now if California opens up gambling companies, I can go into 7-Eleven or whatever, or I can download an app and just go, I'm watching this game. I think in the next 10 minutes that the Warriors are going to go on a 10-0 run, I can put $2 down on it and win money on it.
Yeah.
I might do that. So I think it'll put more money into it, which allows for maybe the possibility of more corruption, because you can, especially the college athletes, you can go, hey, man, if you miss this field goal, I have money down on it.
It just came out the other day. Ron Artest said he got paid or offered $35,000 to throw a game in college, right? That kind of stuff is already happening. And the biggest argument I've heard, one of the lead officials in the MLB, lead umpires, Joe West, his argument was he thinks it makes playing and officiating sports unsafe because, you know,
to allow gambling.
Yep. You get fans. He's afraid of people being more invested in the game. He says people are already so invested. You know, you get a drunk guy who bet $100 on the game and a blown ground ball or a call at the plate, you know, alters the game and you lose your money. Now people are just going to be pissed off and looking to hurt somebody, I guess.
Right, and I understand that. My opinion on it is, like we both agree, it has been happening. I don't know if this is going to drive it up even more. I think a guy who's that invested into a game has already been gambling, so that it's not going to be like some new guy. Like, sure, you'll get some new people in that are going to be it, but not as many as that's going to cause a big problem. I think overall, like we said, this is good for sports. It's good for the leagues because they can control a little bit better and have more regulation and stop some of the kind of shit. Like, we had the Boston College scandal years and years ago. That was more of a mob thing, but it had to do with gambling. So I think it's really good overall. I think it will drive up ratings for all sports all across the board, not just the big ones. But, I mean, the big ones will benefit the most. But I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, yeah. I don't agree with that sentiment that it makes things more dangerous. Like we've both mentioned, it's already happening. If they are going to put rules in place to keep those people that are officiating and playing safe, and so to worry about that, I think it's too much. You're giving up too much by worrying about that.
I agree. All right, so we're going to move on to our next segment. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about Robinson Cano and steroids and Hall of Fame and some good stuff. You're listening to Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
May is First Responder Month, and KCNR 1460 joins with our community in a salute to law enforcement, fire, and medical personnel.
Hey, this is Kenny Breedlove at Market Street Steakhouse. On behalf of Wes and I want to personally thank all the first responders, including fire, police, and medical. All of us at Market Street Steakhouse appreciate all you do.
To those who run toward danger when the alarm sounds, a heartfelt thank you from your community and Free Fire Media.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on Them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about Them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
And welcome back to Sports Talk with Connor Sutton again. I'm not Connor Sutton. My name is Dan Anderson. I'm joined by Bryce Ritchie. We're going to open up here. We're going to talk about steroids, the Hall of Fame, mainly because Robinson Cano, a player for the Seattle Mariners, was suspended earlier this week for 80 games for testing positive for a banned substance. To get all sides out here on the table here, Cano in a statement says that he has never taken PEDs or performance-enhancing drugs. What he tested for was a masking agent, although he's hoping that it's going to distract from the fact that the Major League Baseball policy is that if you test positive for a masking agent, Major League Baseball will prove that you did take PEDs in order, or the reason that you took that masking agent was to take steroids. So they would not suspend him if he didn't take the PEDs, but he has said he's never taken it, but he got dinged for the 80 games, so he's going to get... He's not going to get paid for these 80 games. He's going to lose about $12 million during the suspension, but he still has $120 million on his contract over the next 5 years, so I think he's doing okay. So
yeah, he's not too worried about the money.
My first thought when I heard this was, the moral of the story is, if you do enough steroids, you get a big contract, you might lose $12 million of it, but you're going to be just okay. He's made a ton of money through his career, and like I said, he still has $120 million left on his contract. So my first thought is, do we need more of a deterrent? Do we even care anymore? Because basically, this story came out, if this story was 10 years ago, it would have been nonstop on all of the major sports talks for a month.
Yeah.
Like we would not have stopped talking about it. Even 5 years ago, it would have been a much bigger story. But even it's the thought about steroids, I think, among the fans,
yeah,
is more of like, oh yeah, here's just another guy, and we moved on, because this basically was one day, and then people moved off of it and didn't talk about it much.
I don't even think it was huge for that one day.
I agree.
It got one spotlight. It wasn't even trending on Twitter, and honestly, it might be because of, like, I think Cano's a future Hall of Famer, but it might be because of the market he's in. And because the Mariners aren't a big market team, so not a lot of people are paying attention to it. You know, if it had been Giancarlo Stanton playing for the Yankees, it would have made more waves.
Right, that would have been a much bigger deal. A guy who's just smashing home runs nonstop. Cano's, he's not necessarily a power hitter. He's hit home runs in his career, but that's not what he's known for. But, yeah, I agree. I think that plays a part of it, but I just think at this point fans are getting just – kind of numb to the fact that this is happening to so many players throughout the years.
Yep.
I was honestly a little surprised with him that this came down, although his former teammate Mark Teixeira said he wasn't surprised, which was kind of eye-opening to me that Teixeira maybe knew something going on back even in his Yankee days. That
when he was playing with A-Rod.
Exactly. Do you still think that Cano will get into the Hall of Fame is the question now, or is this a death blow for his Hall of Fame chances?
No, by the time he retires and the time limit's up, he might not be first ballot, but he's an elite player, and he has numbers to back it up. And so I maybe second or third ballot, depending on who else is in the ballot, but he'll be there. The sports writers write him in. And I think the voting right now is people are coming around to the fact that they are understanding, oh, yeah, people do steroids, but they still have great numbers. I mean, they've already inducted Hall of Famers that have done steroids. The three most notable ones, Bagwell, Piazza, and Pudge Rodriguez. So if you're going to let guys like that in, you can't keep anybody else out.
Yeah, I agree. I think the voting has definitely softened on the stance of these guys. Although Bagwell, Rodriguez, and Piazza are all guys who they never had a positive test. There was always some like sort of cloud, and they had like half admissions like, well, yeah, technically I took it, but at the time it was over the counter. I didn't know. It's the guys that have tested positive.
But again, this one throws a cloud too.
Like,
he didn't actually test
like
positive.
Clemens, but. Any guy who's had a suspension, like
yeah.
Manny Ramirez, one of the top five right-handed hitters of all time, tested positive twice, and he's getting like 2% of the vote. Like he's not getting in. We have players like Mark McGwire. He's not getting in. He went to Congress and testified. Well, he took the fifth, basically.
Yeah.
He's not here to talk about the
self-incriminated
past, even though that's the whole point. He was there was to talk about the past and what had happened, but he's not there to talk about the past. But so he tested positive. Rafael Palmeiro, who was at the same hearing, actually, and adamantly said, I've never taken performance-enhancing drugs. 2 weeks later, was suspended for taking performance-enhancing drugs. Those guys are not getting in. Based on the voting, they're not getting in. The players like Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, who most people, I think, would say, yeah, those guys definitely took steroids. But they don't, like Barry Bonds, the same thing. Like, oh, yeah. I took a substance, but it was through an arthritis cream. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't, like, inject myself kind of thing. Their number's a little bit higher. They're in, like, the 50%. You need 75% to get voted in. They're in the 50s. It's Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are the two that I think they're in the same boat. So is there hope for them? Cano, to me, is an interesting subject because if he comes out of the gate, like you said, it'll be 5 years past whenever he retires, which he still has 5 years left on his contract, whether he plays that long. But
yeah.
It could be up to 10 years before we see voting on him.
Yeah.
So at this point, I think if he went right now, like they started voting on him this year, he would not get in.
I agree. Well, I think that the stigma is, no, we can't. Not that we don't want to, but we can't. At this point, they gave so much flack to these other players, especially Bonds and Clemens, that they... they can't let him in right away. And the whole, I think the majority reason that they aren't letting those two in is success. These guys had, you know, Bonds, the whole Balco scandal, but Bags and Piazza were named in that as well. But the fact is even without the steroids, he's the greatest hitter of all time. So I think that right there is, you were more successful. You beat up our team day in and day out. And so we're going to make it painful for you. But I think what you do see, if you look back at the trend, is the percentages are getting higher. You know, a couple of years ago, Bonds wasn't anywhere near 50%. But I think as time goes on, sports writers are adjusting to the idea that he was a Hall of Famer even without him. You know, he 40 and 40. He is, in my opinion, the greatest player of all time. There's no one who has a better eye at the has ever had a better eye at the plate than Barry Bonds. And sports writers know more about baseball than I do, and so they're going to see the intricacies of how good he is as well. So I think by the time the final ballot comes out for these two, they'll get voted in.
I agree, and I hope so. So here's the other question. Do you think they will or not? Do you think they should?
Oh, by far.
So you think A-Rod, put him in? Anybody, steroid around him? Or is there some sort of line where, okay, yeah, Barry Bonds, he probably took steroids. Nobody can really prove it, mm-hmm. that he did it knowingly. That's the
I hate the Yankees, so it's hard for me to...
Well, yeah, I'm with you on that one.
But yeah, you have to be unbiased when it comes to that kind of thing. And A-Rod had great numbers.
A-Rod's a Hall of Famer based on the numbers.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm of the opinion that we should put these guys in if they're a great hitter. Like you said, Barry Bonds, at his absolute prime, teams were walking him with bases loaded. Like, they were so scared to death of him that they were like, we'd rather just put him on base and not worry about him because he was so dangerous. I'd never seen anything like that. It was unbelievable to watch. I can't even imagine how you felt as a Giants fan. Yeah. Watching it, like, that must have been...
You get
awesome.
To that part of the lineup, you just get hyped. Yeah, one of my favorite quotes, Greg Maddux, after he retired, called Barry Bonds the easiest player to pitch to. Because when it mattered, it was like, well, we'll just walk him.
You don't pitch to him.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's like, you got to know where your outs are in a game. And they weren't with him. So,
yeah, so I think we should put some sort of plaque in the Hall of Fame saying, hey, during 1994 to 2004, or whatever the dates you want to say that steroids were running rampant through the sport. Put that in your mind as you walk, but go look at a plaque at Barry Bonds, because a Hall of Fame, which is really a museum, a tribute to the sport of baseball.
Yeah.
If it doesn't have Barry Bonds in it, that doesn't make any sense. The guy who's hit more home runs than anybody else, like we said, the most dominant player in a sport where it's easy to skip around people,
yeah.
And he was still, like, he walked, 160 times or something insane in one season? That's
exactly
unbelievable.
And was still driving in home runs.
He needs to be in the Hall of Fame. A-Rod needs to be in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose, I think it's time. I know he was gambling and sports betting, and it has something else on the side, and he knowingly broke the rules, and I think there's some different issues there, but
do you think
he has the most hits of all time? Same thing.
Yeah.
Put him in.
Do you think guys like Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson, do you think they're the reason the Riders are so hesitant to let these guys in? Because they're afraid to, if they let these, like Bonds and Clemens in, it's going to open the doors to these other guys like Rose that they absolutely adamantly do not want to let in.
Maybe. I think there's a flaw in the system. I think that these sports writers have a lot of power. They know it, and they enjoy flexing their power, saying, hey, Barry Bonds was kind of a jerk to me when I used to have to interview him, so I'm not voting for him.
Because he was a big jerk.
But that's not a requirement for being in the Hall of Fame. I think it's ridiculous. It all goes into whether you're betting on sports or throwing games or not throwing, whatever Shoeless Joe Jackson did or didn't do. It's the same thing, the integrity of the sport. You're ruining the integrity of the sport by taking steroids or cheating or throwing games or betting on baseball. So I think that's part of it, but I think the main thing is they're just flexing their power and saying, like, I'm going to stick it to you, Barry Bonds. So I think that Cano will eventually get in. I think that we should eventually let them all in. Anything else to add on this, or are we ready to move on?
I'm good.
All right, so we're going to take another quick break here. You're listening to Sports Talk with Connor Sutton on 1460 KCNR.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hey, high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors. Did you know that you can take classes at Shasta College this summer without paying any tuition? Get a jump start in your college education, tackle that tough class, or get ready for transfer, all for just a registration fee of about $40. Save time and money. That's how Shasta College gives you more. Shasta College has more classes so you can graduate faster, more programs so you can choose your perfect career, more flexibility to work around your busy life, and more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. Summer enrollment is happening now, and high school students and newly graduated seniors can attend Shasta College free during the summer. Just pay the $40 enrollment fee. We made it easier than ever to register. Go to shastacollege.edu/apply or call 242-7650. High-paying jobs are waiting for trained workers today, and Shasta College is here to help you advance your future. Choose more. Choose Shasta College. Enroll today at shastacollege.edu/apply.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite-lined roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
And welcome back into Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. I'm Dan Anderson in for Connor Sutton. Alongside me, with me is Bryce Ritchie. We're going to switch gears here and talk about another topic that's been kind of in the forefront, especially back in March when March Madness was going on. It has to do with paying college athletes because of the NCAA college basketball scandal. The FBI has been probing some major college basketball programs and... Really, it goes into college football and all the big sports.
Anytime you're doing big recruiting.
So basically, they're investigating coaches and recruiters and things just flat out paying players to come play. To play for me is the most notable one was DeAndre Ayton, who is probably going to be the number one pick or in the top two picks here.
Depends if Doncic goes or not.
Yeah, I hope he goes first because I, as a Kings fan, I want Doncic. So Kings got number two pick. I don't know if you saw that. I was ecstatic because that never happens to the Kings. So the fact that we actually something good happened to us, I was like, are you kidding me? But I want Doncic, but that's the topic for another day. But yeah, Ayton. Got offered $100,000, if you believe the reporting, to come play at Arizona. So basically, people have said, okay, now is the time that we just start paying these college athletes to try to deter from some of this.
That's not going to help.
I agree. So to me, I've heard so many people, and especially you hear this a lot on ESPN, which I watch a lot, Fox Sports 1. A lot of the analysts are former players who played at big-time college sports. It seems to me, I don't know if it's, I didn't take an actual survey, but it seems to me that it is a unanimous decision. It is time to start paying players. And to me, I have a lot of issues with it. I don't think there, first of all, it's not going to help because depending on how you're going to implement this paying system, because first of all, how much are you going to be paying these players? Is it going to be even throughout all the sports, because that brings in some serious Title IX issues if we're going to pay college football players because they make more money in college basketball players. They bring in more money. They're going to get paid a lot of money compared to the female athletes. Yeah. That is some serious issues if they're not going to, if it's based on revenue, it's not going to be even pay. If it is going to be even pay, it can't be nearly as much as
it's
I think
be
the players are hoping. Exactly.
Because you have to cater to the small schools.
Exactly. So, and if that's going to happen, it's not going to be that much, and still some guys can offer you $100,000. That's still a lot of money compared to what you're going to be getting. I think it might help a fraction, but not necessarily enough to stop it at all. Like I said, how much money are we talking about? The high profile sports is an issue. Where's the money going to come from? Because these like Baylor, they posted a $17 million deficit 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's not like they have just loads of money. Like, people see they're building these new stadiums and things like that, but they're going into debt for these things. So there's not just, like, buckets of money to throw at these college athletes. So I don't know where people think this money's going to come from. If this does happen and players or the schools are responsible for paying athletes, there's going to be sports cut across the board because you can't afford to pay. Like, some of these major schools, we have football. We have minimum. Yeah, we have water polo, like, sports that people, like, we're not aware of in our it's not in the forefront of our mind because it's not on ESPN or we don't see the national championship broadcast all the time. These sports are really going to, unless you're going to pay them the same, which it doesn't seem like. To me, I don't really necessarily totally 100% disagree with it.
Yeah.
Although I do think the fact that, especially these top, mainly people are talking about the top sports like college football, college basketball, because it is a full-time job. You can't really have a job outside of it because it's so time-consuming.
Practice, travel, games.
You're on the road all the time. Yeah,
it's a big deal.
But all these guys who are at the top level, you get free room and board, a great education for college basketball, maybe a year. But you get a meal plan. It's and you get all the like you go to Oregon. How much sweet gear are you getting from Nike? And it's a privilege. Like it's a great privilege. There's so many athletes at the high school level who want to be in the shoes of these players.
Exactly.
It's a privilege to do it. So to me, it's problematic when I hear like I've heard mothers of I can't remember who it was. I just heard last week somebody comparing the NCAA system to slavery.
Yeah.
That really is just a thing that I think we should not be injecting in this conversation because it is totally different when you're getting education for free, room and board for like free, you're getting meal plans for free, you're getting to travel for free. Like, it's a great privilege. You're getting experience of the lifetime. You're getting your name out there. You're getting seen by
it's a huge
pros.
Platform.
Yeah.
It's a fair trade. If the players, schools shouldn't be forced to. If they want to, I think they should be allowed to.
Pay players?
Yeah. If you, especially because, you know, the stories that stand out in my mind are these kids that are living in poverty ahead of time, you know, before,
right.
When they're in high school. And you know, a booster or a coach reaches out and, you know, buys him a new pair of shoes, that's instantly an infraction. You can't even do that. You can't go buy him a burger.
Well, yeah, this FBI probe, when they released it, it's like there are some guys like the DeAndre Aytons of the world. Some guys were getting paid $100,000, $35,000. Mm-hmm. But on the list, they had guys who, like, they had a lunch paid for, and it's like they received $37.12. Like, they got a steak dinner paid
exactly.
for. And that was, that's a
and that's offense. A violation. And to me, like, okay, so you're telling me you can't go and take a kid out for a meal? Like, what if his parents can't afford it, you know? And to me, if they want to, you know, throw a little money his way to try and grease the wheels, it's business. These schools are a business. They're run like a business on the education side, you know. That's why they charge so much for tuition. So if they want to go out and grab a player and, you know, they have the money to give him, you know. Give
to be clear, you're saying you're not paying them to come to the school. You're paying a salary when they get there? They should be able to throw money, say, we'll give you, like, this DeAndre Ayton thing you think should be legal?
I think so. To me, if you're going to, you have to either allow it all or not allow any of it. And you can't, like, you brought up too many issues to force schools to pay these players. Not only that, it's a fair trade. If they want to come and play college basketball or college football, like you said, they're getting all this free gear. The guys like DeAndre Ayton are not paying a cent in college,
right,
in college fees. They are, they have all the food they could want, housing, clothes. And the biggest thing for me is the platform. They on primetime TV. They're getting looked at by all of these professional scouts and professional coaches so that, at the end of the season, they can move on to the next level, one and done, if you want to. If they want to get paid that badly while they're playing, then go overseas.
Exactly.
Do what Brandon Jennings did.
I agree with you. I think that forcing schools to do this is not even – there's no way to actually do it where it'd actually be viable. I'm not sure I agree with you on letting schools pay guys to come here because I think that just opens a huge Pandora's box of – because booster schools like Duke – with big boosters, big money boosters are going to be like, hey, we're going to throw you $1 million for quote-unquote recruiting. Throw money at these guys. It really hurts some of the schools that maybe don't have the big booster programs. I'm not sure.
It's a business. It's a business.
These
aren't.
Even though the NCAA is a non-profit organization.
Non-profit.
Quote-unquote. But they are. Something needs to change, but I don't think paying them is necessarily the right way to go. It is, they're student athletes. They're supposed to be there for education. But yeah, like you said, they know what they're getting when they sign on. It's not like they're all of a sudden there and like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
Where's my money?
Mm-hmm.
They should know what they're getting into. Like you said, it's the platform they have. It's all the great education they're able to get. And like you said, if you want to get paid up front, yeah, go overseas.
Go play.
The NFL is a little bit different because most of the players have to wait a little bit longer than college basketball. But there's ways around it. But yeah, it is an issue because these guys who are from lower poverty or low income, like Reggie Bush was a big situation where USC allegedly paid for a house for his mom to come to live near him, and that's a huge deal. Like, paying him in college is not going to offset the cost of a house for his family.
Exactly.
So,
and I guess my thought is if you're going to pay him a salary, you have to be able to pay him bonuses. If you're going to treat him like employees, you need to treat him like an employee. And so if you want to pay him a salary or a wage while they're at school, then why not pay him a signing bonus when they come on?
What I would like to see is at least a step in the right direction, is allowing players to make money off their own name. Like, the players like Johnny Manziel, who was big in college, Tim Tebow, who's big in college, people are, like, they're selling Florida jerseys with that number 15 on, or number 5, whatever he was in college. Basically, the Tim Tebow name, but it wasn't officially Tim Tebow. But people are buying that jersey because they're like, oh, I want a Tim Tebow Florida jersey. he should be able to get some money, whether that's like saved up and given to him after he graduates or however you want to work. But players should be able to make money off their own name, especially the big time players who are bringing money into the school.
Yeah.
I think there's a way to start in the right direction paying those guys. And that way you're not really stepping on Title IX stuff, because like a player like Candace Parker or Brittany Griner, who brought in some money for Baylor, she's in the same boat. So every player has the ability to really do this.
Yeah, that's an interesting. You could even use it as leverage to keep kids in school longer if that's really their goal, if they really want them to go and graduate. You know, hey, we will give you, you know, for your jersey sales for until you graduate, contingent upon graduating, we'll give you, you know, X percentage. I also would like to think, I think you don't force schools to pay, but if you want to set a maximum, you know, $500 per athlete that you go out and recruit these kids with, buy him dinner, take his parents out to dinner, or, you know,
fly them to the school,
to a school, you know, whatever it is. I think that would be beneficial as well.
All right, we're going to take one last break here. Come back for a final segment. You're listening to Sports Talk with Connor Sutton on 1460 KCNR.
Lift off. Astronaut Bob the Drop here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great planning, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. Guess we have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Your hand simple. Naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything, and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. I have a question for all of you who are concerned about the future of our country. Is it your desire that the youth of today be the future safeguard of our constitutional republic and our Christian heritage? Our youth and adults are being deceived into believing the big lie, and that is, there is no God nor life after death. No wonder they have lost all hope. Only in having a true relationship with Jesus Christ can you know the truth that will make you free. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
And welcome back. We're here in the final segment here of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. We're going to move on to another subject, a little bit more fun, I think, to talk about than the previous two. We've been Bryce and I basically today have been trying to fix sports problems, big issues and sports problems in an hour.
Yeah, I think we did a pretty good job. We just need, hopefully the execs were listening, you know.
I'm sure Goodell was listening to this, the NCAA has been listening to this. So
yeah, and I texted Silver earlier, so he should okay, be listening as well.
So I guess what we have to say is you're welcome, America, for fixing your problems. We're going to move on to talking about what is the best record in sports. This is something that you texted me about earlier. Was there a specific reason or just popped in your head?
I don't know. I don't know that there was any specific record in my head that I was thinking about, but I was just thinking about what we could talk about, and this is always a hot topic just because records are, I think most of them are made to be broken, and it's like the pinnacle of sports when an athlete or a team does something that just shatters a record.
Right. So the first thing that popped in my head, there's two ways to go with this.
Mm-hmm.
When you said best record in sports, the first thing I thought of, what's the record that I would want to own in sports? Like,
exactly.
What would be the best record to have? And then the other one is, I thought of, well, what's the most unbreakable record? Is that the best record? What is the most unbreakable one? Which I think there's a few out there.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the one that popped up was Johnny Vandermeer in 1938. You're
That's
looking at me
way.
Like you said. He threw back-to-back no-hitters. Which, so to break that record, you'd have to throw three no-hitters in a row, which is that is never going to happen. That is impossible to break. So that was the first one I thought of when most unbreakable. But to me, when I said, okay, what would be the record in all the sports that I would want to hold, it would be to hold the record in the 100-meter dash at the, like, to have the
that
title
stage, world's
in that
fastest
stage, especially
man.
Like at the Olympics, world's fastest man. Like, so Usain Bolt holds the record. He did it in 9.58 seconds. He holds the record for fastest man
ever.
To me, that sounds like a record that, like, so that was the first thing that popped in my head.
Is that
best record that
you're
I would
slow,
have.
And so you're trying to make up for it?
I am very slow, but I don't know. There's just something about being the world's fastest man. That sounds like a cool record. Like, if I could be like, oh, there's Dan Anderson,
the fastest
man in the world. That sounds
fastest
pretty cool.
Man alive.
What did you think? So, best record in sports.
I agree. There are the unbreakable ones. I think those are, to me, that's the idea of the best record in sports is because they're meant to be broken. If you can set a record, especially, I mean, you could find some really random statistic that was like, that no one's ever going to even touch. But the big ones, like you said, back-to-back no-hitters is huge. Walter Johnson, 110 career shutouts.
In this day and age, that is not going to get broken. Nobody throws the
Yeah.
David Price threw a complete game the other day for the Red Sox, and sportsmen
people
lost their mind.
Nuts.
They're like, can you believe he threw 9 innings?
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a shutout. It was just
nine innings. He threw a good game.
Like, so that one is not getting touched.
Exactly. And so, but, you know, with this day and age, advanced statistics and just longevity, I think the records that we're going to see kind of go out the window are the ones that require extreme strength, athleticism, speed. I think someone's going to break Ricky Henderson's record of all-time steals. I think In basketball, the speed of the game has sped up so much, and athleticism is so much more prevalent that guys like Russell Westbrook, Oscar Robinson's triple-double records in the next 5 years, it's gone. And to me, it's not that impressive anymore. You have so many more possessions per game. You have
more
chances for assists, points, and rebounds. Plus, on the rebounding end, teams are rarely boxing. Like, you watch a college basketball game, five guys are boxing out. If maybe four, if one's leaking out, and everyone else is crashing the glass. And
if you've ever watched a free throw, especially in the NBA, somebody takes a free throw, a second into the free throw, nobody
catches
that.
There's one guy there. At one point in the last game of the regular season for the Thunder, there was a rebound. Like, it would have hit Steven Adams in the face. And
right.
He just tipped it away. Russell Westbrook grabbed it for his 16th, giving him the record. To me, it's like, okay, he didn't really earn that. You know, that's just as much my rebound as it is Russell Westbrook's.
Right, exactly. It's kind of like the when Michael Strahan broke the sacks record and Brett Favre just kind of laid down for him.
He just fell over. He's like,
exactly.
Okay, you got it. Exactly. So I think records like that are going to become less relevant, but to me, the obviously Johnny Vandermeer, Walter Johnson, Joe DiMaggio.
The 56-game hitting streak, that's not going to happen again. That's unbelievable.
It's weird because both the pitching and the hitting are too good on both sides for any of these to be
right.
To be broken. But in my mind, the best record in all of sports is Cal Ripken's record. 2,362 consecutive games played.
Which that is not going to be broken, especially this day and age. People are giving managers rest days in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not getting touched. But it is incredibly impressive to do that for how long he did it. There's no way he is 100% for every single one of those.
But he still went out
through
there.
Injury. It is an impressive record.
And wasn't like he, you know, he was batting 182, but he was an elite defender. He held great batting numbers. He's an amazing player for 2,300 games.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He broke the record. He broke the record and then went on for almost 200 more games or a little over 200 more games past the record, Lou Gehrig's record that he broke. That's really impressive. I don't think, that's not going to be touched in our lifetime or even past our lifetime.
No.
The one record I wanted to get out there, Wayne Gretzky's record, he has
most goals?
Well, most goals, most assists, most points. So the points record mainly. So he had a record 2,857 points in his career, which means that if he didn't even score a goal in his entire career, he had so many assists that he would still be the points record. He would still hold the points record. And we just said he has the most goals. So
yeah.
If you take all the goals away from the guy who scored the most goals in NHL history, he has so many more assists
than anybody else.
He would be the points leader still.
Yeah.
So he has more assists than anybody has points. Unbelievable. That is not getting touched. He is the great one. I think that record is unbelievably impressive. Like the Jerry Rice receiving records are pretty impressive, but I'm not even sure that's not untouchable. The way that offenses are flying in the NFL now.
Exactly. The speed of the game is progressing, and so you have way more possessions, and especially with elite arms in the league, you can target a guy if you want and just get him the ball.
Exactly. Do you think, do you have any team record?
Just the one. And, you know, you can talk about, you know, individual season records. You know, the Mariners holding like you and I spoke about before the show, the modern day record for best season record. But to me, the most impressive was the Boston Celtics. 8 consecutive championships.
That is unbelievable. Can you imagine that nowadays?
Everyone's freaking out because, you know, LeBron has been to, you know, a number of finals, and he's 3-5 now. And everyone's like, oh, that's impressive. But
the Warriors. Yeah.
Yeah. The Warriors are, you know, are in contention to win again. But 8? I would put money that the Warriors are not going to even come close to 8.
I don't think so. Especially the salary cap, the player's going to be moving around. There's no way
injury,
to hold a team like that together, yeah.
And just because of the way the game has changed, it caters more to young athletic guys. So you can't, even if you held a guy for 8 years, at the end of the 8 years, if you had 5 stars,
right,
they're not going to be the same they were. So the fact that from 1959 to 1966, they won every single in a row,
that's unbelievable. That's crazy.
Yes. So, but the one I think I would want to have is the career home runs record.
Is pretty cool
because it's just such a. It's I love records that require longevity. So the fact that Barry Bonds was a great hitter for a very, very long time. But he also had peak seasons. You know, you can't have a down season and break that record.
Exactly.
So to be the world's greatest hitter, that's where I would be.
And I have one record to look out for. This has something to do with my Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
4 rounds.
They have the record for the longest losing streak. They lost their first 26 games in franchise history. Can you imagine, like, the Golden Knights were seen doing something great in their first season? The Buccaneers lost their first 26 out the gate. So.
How awesome that would have been to be at the win, though?
Exactly.
1-26.
We did it, yeah. But the Browns, if they lose their first 10 out of the gate, they will break that record, which I'm rooting so hard for because I do not want that on the Buccaneers' resume anymore. thanks for joining me. I'm glad you were able to come out. I think we had some good sports talk today.
Always.
You're listening to Sports Talk. We're going to go out with, in honor of Connor Sutton, we're going to play a song that will make him smile wherever he is right now. Thanks for joining us today on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, KCNR. I've been feeling as if I'm around you. Ain't no words to describe you, baby.
All I know is that you take me high. The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco.